Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and it's good to be with you as we focus on marriage, and in particular communication, which, by the way, is sort of the make it or break it in marriage, isn't it? If you don't communicate, you got problems. So what is it that you have difficulty talking about? What is it that keeps you from talking? Is it a topic? Is it a style of talking? Is it the kids? What is it? We're going to give you some keys to successful marriage communication today that can unlock a whole new relationship for you. Are you ready? This is Intentional Living. Come on in.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you much, Kurt, and welcome to Intentional Living today. Keys to a successful marriage. What is it you struggle with in communication? What is it that's a roadblock in communication for you in your marriage? 888-888-1717. We've got some intentionals for you, by the way, today, the top 10 list on things that can help you, specific list of 10, one things that you can do to really help you in your marriage. And those are free. They're available for you. They're at our website. We'd love to have you go and download them, share them with others, send them along to others when you go over to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. You know, the very first thing on this intentionals list is a good one, and it's the question, what do I need to say? What do I need to say? Pick your words carefully in order to avoid misunderstanding. So often we say things, you know, the first thought that comes to our mind is usually not the best thought. It's the second or third thought that we need to really craft and think about, so we're saying something in a way that can be understood and received by our spouse. And then when you're ready, speak to your spouse what needs to be said. I don't suggest that we, you know, hide out and not share things that need to be said. But sometimes we say things and they're misunderstood. Your husband or your wife may hear different meaning in the words that you speak than the words that you intend or the intention of your words. I when I'm out teaching in conferences, I talk about the need for a marital dictionary. We need to have a dictionary that really defines what words mean between men and women, husbands and wives. Our different experiences, because words do mean different things, like intimacy, or when we say you've got a problem, or when we talk about, when we throw out words like you never or you always. Those things are loaded with meaning for your spouse that may not be intended, but that's what they're being received. So what needs to be said? Really understanding the essence of what needs to be said. If you got a problem with money, for instance, I don't suggest you hide. But same time, going and saying, you know, you're overspending or you've got a problem immediately sets up a wall, as opposed to sitting down with your spouse and saying, we've got an issue, we've got a problem, and then getting the facts. If you're married to a person who loves facts and figures, not just ideas or feelings, then get the facts. Get a piece of paper and write down how much you're spending, X's and O's, so you know where you are with your money. If you're having issues with your kids, to be very specific. You know, when Billy did this, it was very disrespectful of me, and I would appreciate it that we could talk about how you could support me and how we could stand together when Billy isn't being the kind of child that he needs to be and we want him to be and God intends for him to be in the family. Those are the kinds of things that we need to think about before we say them, because what happens is once the wall goes up, things become a problem. So let me ask you. When do you find it difficult to communicate? What are some of the roadblocks that you wrestle with? Or maybe how you've gotten around them a little bit? 888-888-1717. This is Intentional Living.
If I could do one thing to improve my marriage, it would be to take the time to listen to the Holy Spirit when my emotions start running high. And what that normally means is I'm not getting my way or things aren't going as I expect them, or I'm a little tired. If I'd only take that time to listen, I know things would be better, not only in my marriage, my relationship with Christ, and with the other people around me.
My husband and I, one thing that we've been working on to help our marriage succeed is communication. With he as the head of the family, he really puts himself in a position to be the giver of his love, and then me as the recipient, and that has opened up our lines of communication. It's all about just being open to each other and being willing to give as well to receive.
You know, the Bible says that a word aptly spoken, a word at the right time in the right way, spoken to the right person, is like apples of gold and settings of silver. It's really a beautiful picture of how we are intended to communicate with each other. And we certainly would, encourage you in your marriage, encourage all of us in our relationships to think about the power of the words. So much so, even the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. Even God is referred to as the Word. All right, let's talk about challenges in marriage. Let's start off here with Terry, who's on the line. And I welcome you, Terry, to the Intentional Living Center today.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
Well, I was explaining to, guest relations, Stephen, the challenge I'm having with my husband and our communication is he picks and chooses what he feels is important to communicate with me. And if it's not important to him, it's just no big deal. And then I might bring something up to him, like, well, she would have communicated that with me. And then he goes on and invalidates the reason for not communicating.
Yeah. Can you give me an example of a topic?
Yes, it goes back to a lot within our marriage. With I've been helping raise my stepson since he was 4, and he's almost 18. My husband had full custody of him when I married him. And throughout the marriage, it was just a lot of miscommunication with maybe what would be going on with my stepson and his mom, because he went to see his mom but every other weekend. And this past Christmas, he went to his mom's house for Christmas. Few days after Christmas. He's 18, so he doesn't go that often anymore. And he told me he was coming home one day, and then he didn't bother to tell me that he was coming home early, and he just showed up. And I was really surprised, and it just kind of caught me off guard. Like, why didn't he tell me that he was coming home early?
Now, are you talking about your stepson? How does that relate to your husband?
Well, I wish that I asked my husband, why didn't you tell me he was going to go ahead and come home a little earlier? And, you know, maybe I could have just kind of prepared myself a little bit, because it's the challenges of being a step-parent anyways at times. And it was just nice for me to have that little break. You know, he went to his mom's house for a couple of days. And so I just asked my husband, I wish he would have just told me. And he didn't feel like there was any need to tell me.
Okay. Is it a lot of the communication issues revolved around this blended family?
Yes.
Okay.
At times, yes.
What I hear you saying, Terry, is, you know, it would have been helpful if you would have told me he was coming home early. Would help me plan and know the schedule and so on and so on. But, you know, to be very honest with you, Terry, what I'm hearing is that's not the issue. What I'm hearing is you feel disrespected.
Yes, very much so.
It seems to me that's ultimately what you need to communicate to your husband, because if he honestly believes the issue is that his son is coming home a little bit early, he's probably thinking, what's the big deal if he comes home a little early?
Right.
I mean, what is that? Right. That does not make the world collapse. I mean, what's the big deal? I didn't even think of telling you. But if you're saying to me that the fact that he's not communicating with you and you feel disrespected because of these relationships that you don't have maybe as much involvement with, that's another issue. That's a real issue of not feeling respected, not feeling like you're on the same page, and not communicating about the things that are important to you. Which
right.
seems to me to be a much bigger deal than did he come home early or not.
Exactly. And that was me just trying to communicate that, exactly what you said to him. And he takes it as what you just said. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't have to tell you he's coming home.
Sure.
It's just his home. And, you know, so in some regard, I can see his
yeah, I would probably, you know what, candidly, I'd probably feel somewhat the same way. He might be saying, you make too big a deal out of, you know, my son, I mean, this stuff. He might be thinking you're making too big a deal. What the issue for you is feeling disrespected.
Disrespected, yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Now, here's what I would encourage you to do, Terry, is to sit down with your husband, because blending families is tough, is sit down with your husband and say, honey, let me give you an example. When this happened, here's how I felt. I felt left out or I felt disrespected. Maybe it's my problem. Maybe it's not a big deal for other people. Maybe it wouldn't be a big deal for somebody else. Or maybe it wouldn't be something that would be upsetting to you, but it is to me. And I just want you to know that when you show me that kind of respect by keeping me over-informed, over-communicating, bringing me into these kinds of things, I feel closer to you. I feel more in love with you, or whatever it is, you know, you're really feeling, but really going to the heart of the issue, which is an issue of respect.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that so much, and I will take that to heart. And I've been trying to do my part in just praying and praying through the situation and praying for him. And, you know I'm not a perfect person through all this as well, but I do try to strive for better communication and healthier relationship.
Well, just be, give him the skinny on how you really feel about it. And then obviously, if he doesn't do it and he doesn't measure up, don't pick up the offense. You know, we ultimately have to be responsible for how we respond. That's the Christian part of this, isn't it? That's God's intention for us. The key to successful marriage, what's the roadblock for you? 888-888-1717.
This is Lori Allen for Intentional Living. My dad has the gift of gab, so it's easy to tell when he's mad. He doesn't talk, not a word, not a peep. You've heard that saying, children learn what they live? Yeah. So early in my relationship with my husband-to-be, he got crazy when I wouldn't talk, because he thinks it's healthy to talk everything out and out and out. Fortunately, we had a terrific premarital counselor who gave me words to say to Mark when I needed time before talking. I'm supposed to say something like, I have to process my feelings. I can't discuss this right away. Then, if he persists, I can say, if you force me to talk, I may say something we'll both regret, and I don't want to do that. That strategy works about half the time. The other half of the time, he gets me to talking, and we resolve the issue. I thought my dad had matured and was long over the silent treatment, but my mom called a few weeks ago and said he was ticked off at something she'd done and wasn't speaking to her. She was furious the dad wouldn't talk about it. I wasn't worried about their 56-year marriage, but it just goes to show you that all of us can still learn and improve our relationships. By the way, Dad's talking again. Can't shut him up. For Intentional Living, I'm Lori Allen.
There you go, Dad. 56 years. You know, where do you go? 56 years. I haven't worked it out. So, hey, there's hope for you if you've been married like 56 days, you know? It's a matter of making the decision to communicate. Okay, Michael is in New Mexico. Hi there, Michael.
Hello.
Appreciate your phone call today. What is your question for me?
Well, I'm a newlywed. I was married in December.
Uh-huh.
And my wife has a son, and I have a son.
Okay.
My son's on his own. He's 24.
Mm-hmm.
He has a 2-year-old. I'm a grandpa. My wife's son is 21. When we got married, we both have separate homes. But when we got married, we were going to combine everything into one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a hard time communicating with my wife as far as her son moving in with us, because he's 21. And she just throws up a wall on me where I don't want to talk about it.
So you didn't talk about this before you got married in December?
Yes, we did. We discussed it, and we took some classes through the church before we got married.
And you agreed, or were you just discussed it?
We discussed it, and we agreed.
And we agreed not. We agreed that none of the kids are coming home.
Well, we agreed, you know, her son would live with us for a little while.
Okay.
While he went to school.
Right.
Well, he graduated 3 years ago. He's 21 now, and I love my son to death. She loves her son to death. You know, we were single parents raising our kids. But I don't know how to cut the apron strings.
Wait a minute. I'm a little confused, Michael. You said that he graduated 3 years ago, but you agreed to have him live there while he was in school. That ended 3 years ago. I'm a little confused.
He was supposed to go to a mechanical school in Arizona. We were paying for it in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And he decided he didn't want to go anymore.
Okay.
He wanted some time out of school to, you know, find out what he wants to do in life. Well, you know, I'm 21 now, and he's still at home. He has a part-time job, but doesn't have any ambitions.
Well, what is your wife saying? Welcome home, son? Or is there, like, there's a time limit here? Or what's her attitude? What does she want?
she doesn't want to talk about it.
She doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, she just basically, you know, I've told her my feelings. You know, your son's not, we're not throwing him out on the street, just that, you know, I want just to have one mortgage instead of two mortgages. You know, one electric bill instead of two, because you're paying for two of everything right now. We had agreed we'd move into my home where I'm adding on, and her son would come with us.
And you did all this through counseling?
Yes.
Well, you know, I think what I would do, Michael, you're in the throes of a 1 month after we got married problem because it became a moving target after the counseling. I would say to your wife, honey, listen, you know, we're really young into this marriage to have this kind of a mess. You know, we're not going to survive second marriage and all this problem. And you know, we believe God is in this. We want to honor God. The least we can do is go back to the counselor. And let's get the proverbial cards on the table face up and talk about what we talked about then. This counselor who heard us talk and share, let's come to some agreement on how we're going to do this. But I will say this, that this is at the core of every, at least most of the problems I've ever seen in blended families. When it has to do with the children is that the loyalty to your child is so high when you get married that if there's any offense that comes from the new spouse or any disagreement, And the parent feels like they have to be take a choice. You know, who am I going to be loyal to? I'll tell you, the pull to be, quote, loyal to your kids is enormous, for mama especially, and dads too, but very strong. And so that's why when there's not an agreement, we're not on the same page, we're not doing it together, there's always going to be this pull to go back and say, hey, you know, I got to make my parenting number one, even with a 21-year-old. If this were a 14-year-old, it would be a different story, but even with a 21-year-old, that's why if I were you, I'd go back and get into counseling and say, hey, let's get this resolved for God's honor, for our benefit, for these kids' benefit, and let's do this God's way.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Kevin Lehman here. I am so excited about the Thrive Conference for families and business. You know, if you're one of those women who are lying awake at night looking at that crack in the ceiling and asking that question you ask so often, why doesn't my husband listen to me? You know, you're going to love the Thrive Conference because I'm going to teach you how to get your husband to listen. You know what? It isn't rocket science. Think of your husband as a four-year-old that shaves and you're on the right track. I'm going to give you practical ideas about how to get this man who seems to know everything to listen to you.
Join Dr. Kevin and other relationship experts at the Thrive Conference for Families and Business, October 26th, Grand Canyon University Arena. Early bird deadline, September 30th. For tickets or to stream the conference live, go to familybusinessconference.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to the program today. Couple of things before I get back into calls. Number one, the Intentionals for Marriage Communication, this top 10 list of really practical things that you can do, the top 10 one things that you can do in marriage, is available for you at our website. Just go to theintentionallife.com, click on the today's broadcast highlights, and you can download the Intentionals there. And secondly, a reminder that the Intentional Living broadcast can be yours on demand. All you have to do is go to, you know, for your mobile device, go to your app store and download the Intentional Living app. Just put in Intentional Living. It's free of charge. It gives you immediate access to all of the online help and resources, and all of the broadcasts are available for you. So you can either listen at our website at theintentionallife.com, or you can get our app and listen on demand, which I know many of you like to listen when you can listen because of your own schedule. So just, again, go to your app store and then go to Intentional Living, and the app is available for you there. Today we're talking about marriage communication. We talked about what do I need to say. I think a second question of these intentionals is, how should I say what I need to say? Speak your words carefully in order to avoid unintended consequences. You know, I could think, by the way, if you want to join me, it's 888-888-1717. Tell me what you wrestle with in communication. But I can remember, I tell the story of my conferences, coming home one day, And Donna's little car was in the garage and had a scratch all the way down the side. And it wasn't there in the morning when I left. And so I walked in the house, and I could see Donna was fine. It was a small scratch. She hadn't been hurt. And here's what we do as dummies sometimes in our communication. We make assumptions, you know. But now, what I should have said is, Donna, boy, I see the scratch on the car. Are you okay? Well, you know, what happened? Are you okay? Well, I made these assumptions. She was fine. She looked fine. The car wasn't that big a deal. So I get right to the bottom line, like many of us do in our communication. And I went right to the question, how'd you do that? Oh, ouch, dummy. My intentions were good. I'd already made an assessment, but I didn't check it out. And sometimes when we communicate, we go right to and right past some of the things we need to ask, some of the things we need to say, carefully thinking about the impact of our words and communicating in a way that's going to be understood. So how do I need to say what I need to say or the question I need to ask? And then there's a third thing on timing. So what do I need to say? How should I say it? And then when should I say it? Timing's everything. Timing your words. You know, the right word at the right time is a beautiful thing, like the scripture says, a word aptly spoken. But the right word at the wrong time can be disastrous. And so timing is critical. When do you need to say what you need to say, and how do you need to say it? You know, how do you need to say it, and what do you need to say? That's really the key to this thing of being intentional in your communication. The Intentionals for Marriage Communication, the top 10 list, is yours again when you go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com.
Well, commitment is definitely a big thing, but in my opinion, communication is the best. From a very early time in our marriage, mm-hmm. we would not go to bed mad. I remember one time, I think it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, we were still awake, but we're still mad at each other. But that's what it took for us to finally talk it out and work it out and get over it and keep going.
You know, sometimes like she was saying, you got to just share it. And certainly when the scripture says share these things, get it off your chest, deal with what's got to be said, and do it in a loving way before you go to sleep, resolving your problems before you go to bed. Don't linger, because what happens is you sleep and then, you know, you might go on the next day, but it's that unspoken thing that kind of got pushed under the rug, never got dealt with, never got fully resolved, and it lingers and it creates a problem. And so getting to a place where you clearly can communicate every day, keep short accounts. Maybe for you it's an agenda of issues that need to be talked about, put up on the refrigerator. Hey, when we get together, here's some things we need to talk about, and state it in a positive way, state it in a way that can be helpful. Whatever it is, but getting to the bottom of some of these things, making sure at the end of the day we've kept a clear slate. There's nothing worse than going month after month, year after year, with accumulated garbage that needs to be dumped. You don't want it in your garage, and you don't want it in your heart. And in marriage, keep short accounts.
Hello, Dr. Carlson. This is Donna in Oak Grove, Missouri. I turned on the radio, sitting here eating my lunch, and was I ever shocked to hear my testimony when I called you. And I was telling you about my diabetic medicine and everything, but when this came through, I'm telling you, it's like God really spoke to me. So I have a refund check coming for $36.98. I'm going to put that in the mail to you. I'm going to start my obligation and my pledge to you, and I praise the Lord for letting me hear this. I'm so very thankful. I enjoy your ministry so much, and it's so helpful. God bless you again. Bye-bye now.
Well, listen, dear, thank you for your call and for sharing your heart with us and for standing with us in support. Let me just share that this ministry has been an act of faith since the very beginning. And at the end of the year, we add everything up and we pay the bills. We don't borrow money. We fell short of what our goal was last year. We ended the budget down, frankly. And so I'm so thankful for those of you who catch the vision to share with us. It is the only way that we can continue to have this ministry. We don't sell commercials. You're not underwritten by the government. You know, people say, well, you mean, how do you operate? Well, we operate by the love gifts of people who stand with us. And what we do is we look at this as a community of people who want to live intentionally in their walk in Christ and look for this kind of encouragement and stand with us. And those who do every month receive a teaching from me on CD, and it goes out around the country to people who are members. And, you know, we got a lot of people who listen to us online around the world, around the country, and, of course, listen on the radio in this area as well. But you can always hear us online. Our program is on demand for you with technology today. That's the beauty. You can follow us by going to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. You can download the app for your mobile device by going to your app store and then clicking on or getting to Intentional Living, okay? And we're here for you. And so, again, for monthly members, when you support the ministry, you listen online or you listen to radio, when you support us each month, we send you a CD every month to say thank you for your support as a way of encouraging you. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on the donate button, and you can join up and be a part of the ministry.
Have you ever said, I wish I could communicate better?
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
Well, in order to improve communications with others, a good first step is to really understand your own communication style. So ask yourself, what motivates me? What gets in the way of my communicating well? How do I like to hear or receive information? And when do I have trouble understanding others? You know, determining your true communication style before you determine another's will save you both a lot of time, energy, and headaches. For Intentional Living, I'm Linda Swindling.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Linda. You know, Linda's talking about communication, and boy, that is a huge issue when it comes to marriage, as we've been talking today. And it affects families. It's communication is a key to most everything as far as getting along with people, including your spouse if you work together, or your siblings, or your kids, or your parents if you work in a family business. And Linda Swindling, by the way, is going to be one of our video faculty sharing some insights on video, along with many live speakers at the upcoming Conference for Families and Business at Grand Canyon University, Wednesday, October 26th, all day long, a great day, and online streaming all around the planet. And so I want to remind you again that the early registration for this conference is the end of this month. So we only have about, a week away, just a week to get this done. So go to the website, information there, theintentionallife.com. TheIntentionalLife.com. Next time, in fact, we're going to talk a little bit about business. So I hope you'll come and join us here at Intentional Living.